الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه الطيبين الطاهرين. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا، وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما. I start with the name of Allah. I praise Him and thank Him. I ask Allah to raise the rank of Prophet Muhammad and to protect his nation from whatever he feared for them. We said that the Umayyad dynasty or rulership started with Muawiyah, the son of Abu Sufyan. And that happened in the year 41 Hijri until he died in the year 60. And he arranged for his son Yazid to become the caliph after him. And he died in the year 64. So he ruled for 4 years. This rulership, Muawiyah, the son of Abu Sufyan, and his son Yazid, the son of Muawiyah, this is the branch of Umayyad's family or dynasty that's known as the Sufyani branch. After Yazid died, his son Muawiyah refused to become a ruler. He died a short time after. And then the Umayyad family agreed among themselves to give the rulership to Marwan ibn al-Hakam. Marwan ibn al-Hakam, the son of Abu al-As, the son of Umayyah. So he is part of the Umayyad family. But now the rulership moved to another branch of the Umayyad family, the Marwani branch, because Marwan is the head of this branch. And Marwan ruled from 64 to 65, not a long time. And then his son Abdul Malik ruled from 65 to 86. Then the son of Abdul Malik Al-Walid ruled until the year 96. Then, as we mentioned in our previous class, the last one was his brother Sulaiman ibn Abdul Malik, who died in the year 99. So he ruled about 3 years. And we mentioned that before Sulaiman died, he arranged to take allegiance from his family, from the Umayyads, to the next one he named. And he put the name of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz in that book, and nobody knew who would be the next caliph. He made sure that they agreed to pay allegiance to the next caliph, even without knowing his name. And he arranged also for Yazid ibn Abdul Malik, his brother, to become the caliph afterwards. So Umar ibn Abdul Aziz became the caliph after the death of Sulaiman in the year 99. And he is, this new caliph now, is Umar, the son of Abdul Aziz. And Abdul Aziz's father is the son of Marwan, the son of Al-Hakam, and the son of Abu al-As, the son of Umayyah. So Umar ibn Abdul Aziz was a descendant of the branch of the Marwani branch. And from Umayyah, then there is the son of Abdul Shams, the son of Abdu Manaf, and the same lineage of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Adnan. So this is the lineage of Umar from the side of his father Abdul Aziz. As for his mother was a descendant of Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu anhu. She was Umm Asim the daughter of Asim, the son of Umar ibn al-Khattab. And Umar ibn Abdul Aziz was born in the year 16 Hijri in a village in Egypt called Hulwan. And his father was the ruler of that area when he was born. So, when Sulaiman died, the bay'ah, the allegiance was given to Umar in the month of Safar of the year 99. One of the members of Umayyad's family tried to take himself out of paying allegiance to Umar. But Raja ibn Haywa, the one who agreed with Sulaiman about having Umar ibn Abdul Aziz as the next caliph, he threatened him that if he does not keep on paying allegiance to Umar, that he would be killed. And he was forced to do that. So Sulaiman died, he was washed, he was shrouded, and then he was buried, of course, and having the funeral prayer for him. Once he was buried, now Umar ibn Abdul Aziz being the new caliph, people brought for him whatever the previous rulers used to do. Every time a ruler succeeded among the Umayyads, there was a protocol or there were procedures to be taken. So they brought him all the procession that usually a caliph would have. They brought all these horses, all these, you know, mules with all the decorations on them. And they said, okay, and each animal had its own, you know, leader or jockey if you want. So Umar ibn Abdul Aziz said, what are those animals? They said, this is the procession of the caliph. He said, what? They said, this is the caliph goes on with this procession to go to his house of rulership. He said, no, my animal is better for me. So he did not go with them. And he ordered to dismiss all these animals that were brought for him. And then they told him, well, you need to go to the palace of the caliph. He said, no, I don't want to go to the palace. There are the children of Sulaiman living there. I'm not going to take him out of the palace. That's their father's house. So I'm going to go to my house. So he refused to go through a pompous, you know, sophisticated procession. And he refused to go and live in the palace that the previous rulers used to live in. He went to his own house. As soon as he arrived to his house, he ordered a scribe, a person, a writer, and he dictated to him some message. And he said many things, but in a short and eloquent way. And then he ordered that such a message would be copied, and then those copies of this message would be distributed to different parts of the Muslim state. And the first order that he gave is to order Maslama, the son of Abdul Malik, and his soldiers who were putting the Constantinople under siege to come back home. Remember, we mentioned in our previous class that Sulaiman wanted to open Constantinople because the Prophet praised the army who opens it and the leader who opens it. And when the leader of that army was the brother of Sulaiman, Waslama, the son of Abdul Malik. And in that army was the son of Sulaiman, Dawood. Maslama was ordered by Umar ibn Abdul Aziz to bring the soldiers back home. They were, we said, they ran out of provisions. The siege took a long time. They got tired. And there was no clear way that this city was going to fall in the hands of the Muslims. And also, Umar sent provisions for them, horses and food, a lot of food, so that these people can come back, you know, safely. They don't die on their way back home. And Umar urged the people, the Muslims, to help these soldiers with these provisions. And that was, we said, and Safar the year 99. During this year, the Turks invaded the Muslims in the area called Azerbaijan. Azerbaijan is nowadays is one of the republics that was part of Russia. So the Turks attacked the Muslims in that area and they harmed them immensely. So Umar ibn Abdul Aziz radiallahu anh, now is the caliph, he directed to these Turks a man, means an army under the leadership of a man from the tribe called Bahil. So he was Hatim, the son of An-Nu'man al-Bahili. And he defeated them very strongly. Nobody was safe in that campaign except few. All of them died as a result of the campaign. Now, there was a governor of Mecca for Umar named Abu Bakr Muhammad, the son of Amr, the son of Hazm, and he was one of the top scholars of Mecca and Al-Madina at the time. So Umar made him the governor of Mecca. And he appointed for Al-Basra a ruler, a judge called Iyas ibn Muawiyah, the son of Qurra, the son of Shariq. And this Iyas ibn Muawiyah was among the great scholars. He was a judge, so he was a mujtahid. And he was among the most intelligent people. They usually say, if they want to say somebody is smart, they would say he's smarter than Iyas. So Iyas is the standard of intelligence. And there are many stories we can tell about his intelligence. Just one for the record. One, it is narrated that one man had a sack of money, a bag of money. And he, you know, put the money in and sealed the bag or the sack of money. And he asked another person to safekeep it for him until he comes back. And he did this in the presence of witnesses, that here is my bag of money, I wanted to safekeep it for me, in the presence of witnesses. So this man who was entrusted with this bag was not a trustworthy person. What he did, he went to the other side of the bag, which where the seal is not there, the other side, and he opened it, and he emptied the money from it. It had gold, and he replaced those gold pieces with silver pieces. And then he sewed that part of the sack, and it seemed like it is normal, nothing happened to the sack of money. So when the person, the owner of the money came, he took his sack. It was lighter because gold is, you know, denser than silver. So he opened it and he found silver instead of gold. So he talked to the man and the man, you know, denied knowing anything about it. That look, the sack is sealed as though you said, left it with me. So he went to the judge, Iyas ibn Muawiyah. Iyas, the son of Muawiyah, and he complained about this man. So the traitor said, well, didn't I give him the sack as he gave it to me, sealed as it was? He said, yes, you did. But Judge Iyas felt that this traitor was lying. There is something not right about what he did. So what he did, he said, give me the money. So that silver that he put it in the sack instead of the gold. And the judge started examining every piece of silver there until he got to one of them. And he found that one of those silver pieces was coined at a date later than the date that the sack was given to him. So that piece of silver was coined, you know, printed at a date after the bag was given to the traitor. So how could it have gone into the bag if the bag was sealed? So this is how he has caught him in, you know, red-handed. And then the person said, yes, I opened it. He admitted his treachery. Subhanallah. So Iyas was known to be very smart, and there are, as I said, plenty of stories about his intelligence. So you could see that Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu anhu, Umar ibn Abd al-Aziz, now the caliph, has been assigning governors on different areas of the Muslim state that are scholars. This is Abu Bakr Muhammad ibn Amr ibn Hazm, was from Mecca, al-Basra in Iraq, was Iyas, and before was al-Hasan al-Busri, who was one of the Tabi'in, Mujtahid, but he refused, he said, I decline to take the rulership or the judge place, that's why Iyas was assigned instead. And for al-Kufa, another area of Iraq, Sayyiduna Umar appointed Amir al-Sha'bi. Amir al-Sha'bi. He was a great mujtahid of al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. And he appointed different governors in different areas, and he monitored them very closely. He would know about what they are doing in their different areas. Now, in the year 100, means we said he started in the year 99, in the second month of the year Safar. Now, in the year 100, so about 1 year later, some renegades, they disobeyed Umar. They carried arms against the Muslim state. They rebelled. So Umar ibn Abd al-Aziz wrote to his governor in that area. He said, do not attack them. Do not start the fight with them. Leave them alone. Unless they start shedding the blood of Muslims, then you fight them. But do not let anybody fight them now. We don't want to have any bloodshed. And find me a good person, a person who is firm, who is stern, who is strong, and who is smart. Find such a man and send him to them and tell him what I told you to tell them or to do with them. So then Umar wrote a message to the leaders of those renegades, and he told them, you claim that you want the truth, you want out, means you rebelled against me seeking the truth. So I love to follow the truth. So let's debate, you debate me, and the one who is, following the truth will be followed, and the person who is not following the truth quits the falsehood and, follows the truth. So he told him, if the truth is with us, then you'll join us. And this man, this Harijit or this renegade leader, he told Umar, you are fair, that you want to debate. So he sent two men to Umar to debate with Umar. So Umar radiallahu anhu, of course Umar ibn Abd al-Aziz. Umar ibn Abd al-Aziz radiallahu anhu, he debated these two men and he won over them, he dumbfounded them. And he had certain things that he wanted to talk about in another session. However, Umar radiallahu anhu did not live that long after that debate. He died before these people, departed him and returned to their leader. Now, Umar radiallahu anhu, Umar ibn Abd al-Aziz, he removed a man called Yazid, the son of Al-Muhallab, and summoned him to him. He was a ruler of an area. He just removed him and they told him to come to him. And the reason is that this Yazid, had written a message to Sulaiman. And in the message, this Yazid admits that he took part of the money of the spoils and whatever income the state usually gets, he took a big chunk of it for himself. So when Yazid came to Umar, Umar told him, you have to pay that money. That was not your money. You know that I was close to Sulaiman, and you wrote him that message in which you admitted taking that money. that money is not yours. So Sulaiman did not ask you, maybe because you were close to him, to pay the money, but I'm telling you, you have to pay this money. This is the right of the Muslims. So a man, the son of this Yazid, told Umar, Allah bless the Muslims by having you the caliph. We don't want that feel sad about our father. It means I don't want to see my father in prison because he hasn't paid the money. So I'll pay the money and do not put my father in prison. So he said, you're going to pay part of the money. He will go to prison until all the money is paid back to the state. And when the money was not paid, Umar put this Yazid in prison. And in the same year, Umar removed the governor of Khurasan at the time. And the reason he removed this man, is because an envoy, some people came from that area complaining about him. One of the slaves who were freed, he said, when Umar asked him, what is your condition in your area? He told him, oh, commander of believers, there are 20,000 freed slaves who are participating in, you know, military campaigns, but they are not given any money. They are not provided with any food. So it means they are not treated by the governor of the area the way he treated other Muslims. He just is ignoring them. He is putting them to go to fight for the Muslims, but he is not providing them with what they need, food and weapons and so on. So, and also, there were people who were Christians and Jews, and they became Muslim, and this governor is still taking from them jizya. Although they became Muslim, this governor is still collecting jizya from them, which is, of course, against the rules of the religion. Once a person becomes a Muslim, he does not pay jizya. And this governor is a rough, hard-hearted governor, and he favors his own people, his own tribe. So he would just, when he talks to people, he addresses the people with like insult to them, but he shows respect for his own people. And he was a governor for Al-Hajjaj before. So Umar told this envoy person who was complaining, you are the one who should be sent in an envoy. Means he is telling the truth. He is, nowadays they call him whistleblower. Okay? He told them, you are saying the truth, so you deserve to be representative of your people. So then he sent a message with him, means he became the envoy of the caliph, to the governor. He told him in his message, you should stop collecting jizya from those who became Muslim of the people of the book. You, and because he did that, means he stopped collecting jizya, many people who were not Muslim became Muslim. And this man used to test these people who become Muslim by seeing whether or not they were circumcised. He would just, he said, I'm not sure that you're Muslim unless I see you circumcised, which is of course Islamically ridiculous, because the Prophet didn't say until a person says the Shahada and then he is circumcised. Circumcision is not a reason, is not a requirement for a person to become a Muslim. So this person was making a test that the religion did not enact or prescribe. So Umar ibn Abdul Aziz told him, Allah sent Muhammad as a caller to Islam. He did not send him as a circumciser to circumcise people. So see who became Muslim in your area and do not let him pay jizya. Then he sent another scholar named Abu Mijlaz to that area, And he said, come to me. He asked him about the people in that area. He did not just listen from one person. He wanted to see other people, what they say. And he asked him about the governor, and the news were confirmed. So he told him, whom do you advise to appoint if I remove him? And then this scholar, he named few people and described them. He gave description of them. Then Umar chose one of those people whom Abu Mujlas described and made him the governor of the area, removing the previous one. Umar, as we said earlier, his caliphate did not last for a long time. He died in the year 101. He was in his 30s. He started in the year 99, and he died in the year 101. So about 2 years and about 5 months. Similar to the rulership of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, about the same length. And although his rulership was for a short time, his reputation, his fame has, you know, exceeded the fame of many of the rulers who ruled for decades. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz is more famous than many of these Umayyad rulers or other rulers who ruled the Muslims for decades, although he just ruled for 2 years, because of the extreme zuhud that he had, his extreme disinterest in this world, his extreme piety. He had very great fame. And when he was sick, the sick that led to his death, this Yazid, who did not pay the money, was worried that the ruler after Umar may keep him in the prison. So he found a way to escape from the prison. So this is, in short, what happened during the rulership of Umar radiallahu anhu, 2 years and 5 months. Inshallah, in the next class, inshallah, we will be talking about many, many of the events that took place during the caliphate of this great caliph radiallahu anhu. We usually, we say that there are 5 rightly guided caliphs. People usually say 4, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, and Ali. We said they were not 4 rightly guided caliphs, they were 5 in succession, in a row. The 5th was Al-Hasan, the son of Ali. The Muslim scholars mention also Umar ibn Abdul Aziz being the sixth rightly guided caliph. And he was different from most of the rulers of the Umayyad dynasty. Although he was by blood one of them, he was very different from most of them. There were other good also Umayyad rulers, few of them. But Umar ibn Abdul Aziz was the best among these Umayyads. He was a great scholar, a mujtahid, a pious wali, and inshallah we will mention some of the good things about his blessed life, radiyallahu anhu. La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.